A doctor who's about to make a shocking discovery.
So when I looked at the evidence of these guys, I said, I have to believe it. I mean, what more could there be?
His life-changing prognosis. That's next.
Dr. Greg Veeman was arrogant, always right, and number one at everything he did. So when he set out to get the best of his Christian neighbors, he was 100% committed.
I was going from one thing to the next. So, you know, I would buy a new car, and then when that didn't do it, I'd go out and buy clothes or take a trip. And then I went through hobbies. You know, I did triathlons, I did running, I took up wine as a hobby. I mean, on and on the list goes.
Dr. Greg Veeman was convinced he had everything he needed to find happiness. The successful career, the lifestyle, but it never seemed to be enough.
It was a combination of you're sad, you're empty, and yet at the same time, you're kind of angry and frustrated because you're thinking, well, why? You know, what's wrong with me? You know, why aren't I fulfilled? Why don't I feel like I have achieved what I'd worked my whole life for? And so you're embarrassed. You're not going to tell anyone, so you keep it inside. And then what you end up doing is taking it out on other people.
He also had all the answers. His wife, Ruth, explains.
He was good, but he had a short fuse. He was arrogant. He was always right. He's the type of person, he's his own person. He's the boss. You know, he always did well his whole life. He was always number one at everything.
Greg was quick to take issue with others, including his Christian neighbors, who Greg thought were giving his family the cold shoulder.
But I'm going to get a Bible, and I'm going to prove to them that they're not practicing what they preach.
Greg started reading the Bible and was shocked by what he learned.
I realized that Jesus was claiming to be God in the flesh, the God-man on earth. And I never heard that before. So that quickly got my attention because I realized if it did happen, it was the most important event in human history. And if it didn't happen, then it was just a religious fairy tale that someone made up. So I quickly forgot about the neighbors and decided, hey, I need to find out if this really happened. I really got interested when I heard Luke's prologue where he says, you know, that he checked everything out because he's a doctor and doctors would normally disprove miracles, not authenticate them.
While Greg's curiosity was academic, Ruth had been on her own search for truth and accepted Christ as her savior. She knew her husband needed more than a subject to study.
I was worried about his salvation. I would tell my friends in the Bible study, I'm worried about Greg. You know, he's never going to accept the Lord. When I told Greg, you know, there's a place called hell and it's real. And, you know, if you don't believe, you might go there. And I was praying for him. I really was. It got to a point where I was just like, I give up. You know, I was like, really? I'm like, God, you've got to do something.
Greg spent weeks studying and researching. He realized Christianity hinged on one event, the resurrection.
I started for looking for every possible explanation that would say it didn't happen. You know, did Jesus, maybe he didn't die. Well, that wasn't true. Even in the Journal of the American Medical Association, doctors had concluded that he definitely died. Maybe the apostles stole the body. I mean, maybe they were seeing hallucinations, all these different theories. But the problem was none of them were credible. None of them made sense. The only explanation from the historical facts, the way it was set up with the Roman guards and everything, was that the tomb was empty and he actually rose. The real thing that got me was the Apostle Paul, because here's a guy, he's Jewish, he's killing Christians, he has nothing to gain. What in the world could make this guy go and be the greatest evangelist ever? There was only one explanation, and that was that he saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So when I looked at the resurrection, looked at the evidence of these guys and their changed lives, I said, I have to believe it.
Now Greg had the answer, or at least he thought he did.
Christianity is okay, you know, he really did it. And if you believe and he sees that you go to church and you're trying to do the right thing, then when you die, you'll go to heaven. I mean, what more could there be?
Greg was about to find out. It started after he treated a walk-in patient at work.
I went in, you know, told him if he had any questions to ask me. And he was just staring me like dead in the eye. And that's when he came out and just said, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I about passed out. I wasn't expecting that. And all this other stuff was happening at the same time. I'm like, well, how does he know? Why is he asking me this? Who is this guy? And I kind of just bolted out of the room and says, I'll be right back, because I didn't know what to do.
A few nights later, Greg began thinking about his life.
There were things in my life that I, you know, wanted to change, you know, the anger, the frustration, but I didn't have the power to change. And so it just kind of all culminated where I just kind of broke down crying and asking God to forgive me and basically just, you know, kind of repented of my sins and asked him to change me and that I wanted to, you know, live a new life.
The very next morning, Greg noticed something was different.
I was just like completely peaceful. I wasn't frustrated. I wasn't feeling angry. I felt content for no reason. So I quickly expected everything to dissipate and go back. But as I began to live that day, I realized, you know, hey, there's something really different. So if I was different and feeling completely different, I had to have been changed, or something in my biochemistry of my body had to be changed. I said, well, maybe somehow my antihistamine got switched out for something like Valium. So I went and checked my medicines, and of course, you know, that wasn't it.
Greg found out why he felt different in the book of Romans, chapter 6.
Basically, what it said in there was that when you become a believer and get saved, and the Holy Spirit comes into you, which is something I was completely unaware of, that the old person that you were somehow dies. And then it cross-referenced that to Galatians 5:22, which talks about how the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And I'm like, you know, hey, that's it. That's how I feel. I've got that list.
Later that night, Greg told Ruth what happened.
It was a miracle to me because I didn't ever think that Greg could ever change. He was suddenly concerned about other people, which shocked me.
Greg went looking for the patient who had talked to him.
The problem was his name wasn't on the schedule anymore. I mean, it was handwritten in ink, and I knew exactly when it was, and it's not there. And I checked for like the whole month, and the guy basically wasn't there. His record was completely gone. There was no evidence that he ever came in the office.
Greg says while there's no doubt the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus are true, the real proof is in his changed life.
I would say since the day I was saved, I've never felt alone. I've never felt empty. I've never felt all of that discontentment and stuff.
I feel like I'm married to a different person. I feel like my old husband is not around anymore, and I've got this new husband who's awesome.
For Greg, the truth is clear.
Every other religion is man seeking God. Christianity is God seeking man. There's a real test for Christianity. You call on Christ, put him to the test. He won't just forgive your sins, but he's going to change you right now so that you know that it's true. And that's a big difference.
And that is the difference. All the other religions are about how you can get good enough, do enough good things, observe enough rules that somehow or other a distant God would pay attention to you. Christianity is this: Jesus came to save sinners. That's what he came to do. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, he came for you. For God so loved the world, that's you, that whosoever would believe in him, again, that's you, would not perish, but have everlasting life. The proof of the resurrection is what Jesus does today. And realize he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, when you look at the claims of Christianity, you see some fantastic things. Here, a man born to a virgin. How did that happen? Who claims to be divine, 100% God and 100% man all at the same time, claims to have lived a sinless life, never did anything wrong, and then was tried, beaten, crucified, went through the shame of all of that. He didn't deserve any of it. He went through that to pay the price, to pay the penalty for you and me. And then he didn't just stay in a grave. He rose again. The tomb is empty. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father praying for you. He's done all this for you, and now he's praying for you. These claims are fantastic. But there's eyewitness testimony through the centuries. Not just what's in the Bible, but how he's transformed lives, cultures, nations. But all of that is meaningless unless you have that same experience. Unless you know for yourself, deep in your heart, that it's real. And until you know that, you'll be a skeptic. You go, well, I hear about it. That may be nice for you. But what does it mean for me? Well, here's the prayer for you. And maybe you'll get a visitation from an angel. Maybe you'll have a tingle. Maybe you'll have something happen. But here's the prayer. Jesus, if you're real, could you show me? If you died for me, if you love me, if you want me to be with you, could you show me? Could you show up for me? I hear what you've done for others, and I want that. If this is real, I want that. And if you pray that with all of your heart, the Bible says that he'll answer and he'll show up. Just what he did for Greg, he'll do for you. He'll change your innermost being. What you used to want, what you used to think, you no longer think, you no longer want. You want him. You want this new life that he talks about, that he gives so freely. So if this is for you, if this is what you want, don't change the channel, but let today be the day that you find out Jesus is real and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can find that out for yourself. You can have direct evidence of his existence because he wants that for you. He wants that relationship with you. So if this is for you, bow your head right now. Let's pray. And let's let Jesus show up for you. Pray with me. Jesus. That's right. Say it out loud. Jesus. I've heard about you. And I want to know that you're real. That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus, I open my heart to you. And I ask that you come in. I ask that you do for me what I've seen you do for others. Change my life. Make me new again. Forgive me of the things that I've done wrong. And Jesus, if you do this for me, I want to follow you all the days of my life. Hear my prayer. Answer it today, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Father, for those who just prayed, I ask for a baptism in your love and in your salvation. Let your presence surround them and fill them to overflowing. Let them know that right now their prayer has been heard and has been answered. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed with me, there's one more thing I want you to do. I want you to make a phone call. Let somebody else know. Bible says that when you believe in your heart and then confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So do it now. 1-800-759-0700. Phone call is free, and I've got something for you. When you make the call, it's called A New Day. And here's a CD teaching of what do Christians believe? How do you live the Christian life? What are the next steps for you? It's all free. CD's free. All you have to do is call. 1-800-759-0700. Terry, over.